Can't tell you what a big thrill this is, and that first Tuesday in November is not so far away, but a chance of getting up close and personal, as close as we're ever going to get, Berkey, to this Melbourne Cup. $200,000 and a $6.5 million race on that first Tuesday in November. And always great to welcome Joe Agresta and also Joe McGrath, who are the custodians in so many ways of this magnificent trophy. It's impressive, isn't it?
Isn't it good? I think this is the part of history. This is where 99.9% of the populations never get close to. You know, you watch it from as it gets presented, but it's here in front. It's shiny, it's golden. You just want to pick it up and take it to the sky, don't you, really?
Firstly, Joe McGrath, will chat. Thanks for your time.
Fantastic.
It's such an impressive cup, and of course, it's a great tour and a chance of getting this cup out to the public as well. You guys have been on the road, and you're still going to be on the road for quite some time.
Yeah, well, we've got a few weeks leading up until Emirates Melbourne Cup Day, but yes, this event it's in its 15th year, and we take the People's Cup out to the people. And this year, 31 destinations across Australia and New Zealand, and we're up to about destination 5. And it's a long road, and we take with us the cup, but also our ambassadors, such as Joe Agresta.
Yeah, it's a very big pub crawl.
if you look at it that way, I don't think you could survive it if it was a pub crawl. But no, it's a lot of fun, and it brings a lot of lights up a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, you're associated with this cup on a yearly basis. Joe Agresta joins us. Joe, your affinity with the Melbourne Cup goes back a long way with the legend himself, Bart Cummings. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, look, I was fortunate enough to work for Bart for 34 years, and I was very fortunate to be involved in his last 5 Melbourne Cup winners, and I rode the whole 5 Melbourne Cup winners in probably most of their track work.
So you can't take credit for the first 7.
No, I can't. No. I was a bit younger, and I used to watch it, and I thought, he's a great trainer. And when they asked me to go and work for him, I didn't want to go. I knocked it back because I was really frightened to. Okay. I was really frightened to go and work for Bart Cummings. It was just like, I was just a normal track rider, and to go and work for this guy that's won, 6 or 7 Melbourne Cups. And
wow.
I actually knocked it back, and a friend of mine said to me, he said, when are you coming? I said, I'm not coming, I was terrified, really. I was thinking, this guy's going to watch me ride in track work. I'm going to do that many things wrong. And a week later, he said, I told the boss you're coming. He said, you better be there on Monday. So I thought I'd last a couple of years, a couple of months, and I was there for 34 years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How was that in the end? How was it to ride for a legend of the sport? Because that's what you want to do, and you want to impress people, don't you? That's what you want to do.
Yeah, well, people used to ask me just so, what's it like working for a legend? And I go, look, he's my boss, And like, really, the last 10 years, I really got close to him. He was more like a father figure to me, and it wasn't all about racehorses and that. We'd have a quiet, dinner, and he'd just tell me about things that, in general in life. You should be doing this, you should be doing that, and he kind of led me down the right path.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Was there a secret that you learnt? You mentioned you watched early on from afar, and then you got up close and personal with the last 5 winners, riding them in work. Was there? He had so many secrets, and I know all the other trainers used to watch intently what Bart did with his horses.
I say to people, the secret is there was no secret. It was there for everybody to see. And, he had a plan, and he used to say to me, he goes, Joe, he said, it worked for my father. He said, and it's working for me. There's no reason to change it. Just because time goes past, he said, horses are horses. He said, it's working, so we're not going to change it. And I remember our last winner, our last Melbourne Cup, Gay Waterhouse asked me, she said, how does he do it? And I explained to Gay, I said, if you've got every trainer in the world to follow Bart from day one to the Melbourne Cup day, I said, no trainer would follow suit because he's so demanding, and it's stressful, it's stressful with the track riders, everyone, and he demands that from the horses. And probably 99.9% of trainers wouldn't do what he does. And that's why he had so much success with the Melbourne Cup, because when he gets to the Melbourne Cup, his horses were 110% fit. Not 98, 98, 110% fit. And that's why they always run good races.
Here's a question. How does he differentiate? Because he'd have numerous horses in the race. Do you get a bit of a more of affiliation with one horse or feel like one's going to obviously perform better? Or because I imagine the owners would say, hey, you know, how am I going to go over 3,200?
Yeah, look, with our last Melbourne Cup, we had a horse called Moatize and Viewed. And we had a lot of trouble with Viewed. And like I said here before, if another trainer had Viewed, the problems we had with him, he wouldn't have got to the Melbourne Cup. They would have stopped.
Yeah.
But Bart's persistence kept going. We got to Melbourne Cup day, and I was walking down to the races with the foreman, Reg Fleming, and he said to me, what do you think? I said, I think Moatize, he's 110% fit. I said, the other horse we had a few problems with. I said, he's not quite there. And he said, I like Viewed. He's very tough, you know. So we went to the races. I was thinking that Moatize had a better chance. And View just kept going and end up winning the race.
You know? Well, I'm listening to Reg now instead of you, okay, Joe?
I'm a terrible tipster.
We're lucky enough to have Joe Agresta and also Joe McGrath in the studio, in the Big Sports Breakfast studio, along with the Melbourne Cup. Joe McGrath, it's bigger now than ever before, isn't it? And it's been internationalised. Which is fantastic.
And I think you look back with the history of the race. I mean, 1993 is a key turning point, obviously, with Vintage Crop winning the Melbourne Cup, coming out from Ireland. And I think the VRC is very fortunate and does not regret one minute getting those horses out here, because it has opened up the door for international competition. There's owners and trainers all over Europe, Japan, all parts of the world who... focusing on this great race. And, you know, we love it, but across Australia, obviously, but, you know, trainers and owners all across the globe now want to get their hands on this trophy that we've got in front of us here, you know, and it's embedded in our culture, it's in our psyche, and, you know, it's just a privilege to be involved with it.
Berkey, you've held the World Cup of Rugby Union, the William Webb Ellis Cup, and obviously it's got two handles that you've held aloft, but this one's got three. So I'll let Joe explain the reasons why it's got three handles.
Well, three handles are representing the owner, trainer and the jockey, and this trophy was brought in 1919. Before then, there was a lot of tea services and a lot of different unusual shaped trophies, and some years through Melbourne Cup history, there was no trophy at all, due to the tough times and so forth. So 1919, they came up with a three-handled Loving Cup, and it's, you know, there was a lot of pressure at that time to come up with a trophy that would reflect Australia's great race, and look, it's become the icon it is today.
Mm. It is, it evokes so much passion, doesn't it? I mean, you don't have to be a horse follower to watch it. And that parade down in Melbourne before the race, and everybody jumps on board. It's quite incredible. It is something special to watch.
Big event, isn't it?
Massive event. You talk about the World Cup. My first story for Channel 10 reading the news was before the Melbourne Cup, and I got thrown to, it's going to be a fantastic day down in Melbourne. I said, that's right, it was when Fiorente won, Gay Waterhouse Train. And I said, that's right. I said, as the red light came on, I said, the Gay Waterhouse Train, fear, I couldn't get it
fear
out.
Gotcha. That
fear got me, yeah, Fiorente. But it went on. I thought, you're not going to get me. So I put $50 on the nose and it won. Beautiful. So I picked up about $400 on the way through. But that's the passion of it just grabs people, doesn't it? And as you said, internationally now, these raiders come through wanting to get a piece of history.
Well, that's right, and it'll continue to do so. I mean, the race is, you know, 6.2 million plus, and with that for staying horses, it's certainly the holy grail for all horses that get a distance across the globe. And you know, it's very unique. It's a niche race in many ways under handicap conditions, and it continues to escalate in terms of its importance and relevance across the globe.
Bigger and bigger and bigger, Joe. I know you said you're an ordinary judge, but currently at tab.com.au, if we had to have a flight at Red Cardinal, is a $13 pre-post favourite. Francis of Assisi, who we've seen out here last season, $17. Albert, $21. Almandon, who won last year, $21. Big Duke, Crocodile Rock coming back. Big Orange is also coming back after a pretty good Royal Ascot. Do you have a little bit of an early thought, Joe?
Got no idea, to be quite honest.
I don't think I'm betting into that market at the moment anyway.
I really think, you know, that market, I mean, you know, in the next 2 months will just change completely. Yeah. So, you know, anyone having a bet now is only just, you know, just throwing darts.
Yeah, we say bet with care at the moment as far as that pre-post. And, Joe, you're probably not allowed to tip, are you? Sneaky little word there from all the Victorians?
Not at this stage. As Joe said, it changes so much. And I think if we look a week out from the Emirates Melbourne Cup, it's going to be completely different.
And still trying to make up the mind when you're in the queue on that first Tuesday.
Isn't
that
right?
November.
Absolutely.
I can only say thanks to you both for giving it for your time. Now, we go right throughout New South Wales. Obviously, the TV show goes throughout the nation, but you're going to be, where are you off to later on today?
We're going to Nowra.
Nowra today.
And we'll be there tomorrow all day. There's a whole range of community activities, and then we head to Bermagui later in the week, and we'll be there on Saturday. So it's part of the 31 destination journey, and heading our way back to Flemington for the first Tuesday in November.
It is absolute trick to have the Emirates Melbourne Cup in the studio, and we'd like to thank Joe McGrath and also Joe Agresta for your time, and thanks again and good luck on the journey.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having us.